Hey, what up though? It's your boy Reggie Watkins and you are listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment, but please don't be hating. We don't need that. And if you like the podcast, make sure you're telling friends. And we are available everywhere. We're on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play. I saw some other stuff today that I just don't remember, but we're everywhere. But mainly, we're on the Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV.com. Find us, listen to us, give us a shout out. We appreciate you. My man Kevin Cleveland's running the show, engineering, producing, as usual. Kevin, how you doing, man?
I am doing great, and very excited about the next round here of the NBA playoffs. Lakers took game one against the Golden State Warriors, and I hope they continue to do that.
Yeah. We've had a fascinating first round. We are now in the second round. We are going to talk about that. We are also going to do a little recap of the NFL draft that just happened this past week, and you guys know I was very excited about that because some things happened that I want to talk about. But first up, so we are in the second round of the playoffs, and as I was saying previously in the first round, the NBA has been fantastic. We've just had all the great matchups from the play-in through the first round, and now we got the second round, and last night was the start of the Lakers-Warriors series. I personally have the Lakers in six. I got bets with friends and haters. I was looking forward to this game so much. Could not wait to see this. Because I was so happy that the Lakers got done with the Grizzlies a little early, got their 3 days of rest, right, which they need because when you got AD, who is sometimes very brittle, and you got Methuselah, a.k.a. LeBron James, on your squad, they need some time to rest. And they were able to get that with the three games after blowing the Grizzlies off the floor. And then the Warriors went to Game 7 versus the Kings, and they did what the Warriors do. Steph Curry showed up and was all-time great like he is wont to do. And they took Game 7 in that series. Real quick on that series, something I want to touch on that I've been talking about before is Sacramento, fun team. And you see this a lot in the regular season. There are some fun teams and people just to enjoy watching. But you can't take them serious, right? And the Kings, the reason you could not take the Kings serious is because all throughout the season, their best player was Domantas Sabonis, right? But the problem with Domantas Sabonis' game is it does not translate to the playoffs when you've got to be able to make shots. You've got to be able to shoot and make shots and be aggressive. And the thing I was worried about with the Warriors series, I wanted to see what Domantas was going to do because everybody went into the series thinking their best player is Domantas Sabonis. De'Aaron Fox is their most exciting player. No. Their best player is De'Aaron Fox because De'Aaron Fox can do special things. He's lightning fast. He can shoot. He can get to and finish at the rim. He can pass. He can defend. Like, that dude is dope. Sabonis got punked. That's just the way it comes down to it. Literally, Draymond stomped on his soul. Literally, right? And, I mean, he got an elbow in the eye. He had a black eye. And I'm watching that game and the rest of the series from when he got stomped on his chest, that dude would not go to the bucket and he was scared to make, it was like he was shooting scary layups. He wouldn't take the elbow jumper, which is, oh my God, they're literally giving it to him and he would not take it. So then all you got is De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, who people were losing their minds because Malik Monk went for, I think, 30 in the first game. And everybody was like, oh, where's Malik Monk been? Oh, he was with the Lakers, but the Lakers let go of him because, you know, the Lakers always just mess everything up. And LeBron doesn't know how to judge talent. And then later on in the series, we found out why Malik Monk was available to the Kings. The Lakers weren't going to pay that dude that kind of money because he's not reliable. Like, I watched him all season with the Lakers. He was nice. He averaged pretty much the same amount of points he averaged for the Kings. He just got a chance to play in the playoffs and have a good game, and then people lost their minds. But eventually, you find out why he was on his third team. He's not reliable. That dude was a lottery pick. He is a nice player. He should never be counted on to give you that kind of production every night. He is a dude who should come off your bench and be your sixth man. That's a nice role for Malik Monk. But Sabonis was exposed as a regular season player. And by regular season player, I mean a dude who's going to put up good numbers because, hell, all that dude gets to play against the Rockets four times a year, right? He plays the Rockets four times a year. He plays the Trailblazers four times a year. He gets to play the Charlotte Hornets twice. You know what I mean? Like, when you get to play against all these mediocre teams, you're going to put up numbers. And if you get some good numbers against good teams every now and then, the averages are going to look really nice. But when you get to the playoffs and you've got to play against tough competition night in and night out, that's where you see the dudes who separate themselves from everyone else. And what we saw last night with the Warriors and the Lakers was a clear separation of greatness and good. Anthony Davis is great. Kevon Looney is good. He's good at getting rebounds, but that dude cannot touch AD. And AD had, it was one of the, literally one of the greatest playoff games that you're ever going to see. The man had 30 points, 23 rebounds, 5 steals, 4 blocks. Okay. And I had people texting me. I'm watching these analysts on TV and they're saying, oh, what am I impressed? Anthony Davis should do this every night. He should average that. Guys, what has happened to who? First thing I want to ask is, who raised you? Right? Who raised you to never appreciate anything? What have we gotten to when nothing impresses people anymore? Not even the greatness. Like, you got Joe Schmo in group text messages talking to their friends about, man, Davis is soft. He should do this every night. How come we can do it tonight? Do you understand how hard it is to get to the NBA? I just don't think people really recognize this anymore. They just take it for granted. These dudes are the top 1% in the world at playing this game of basketball that almost every one of us has ever tried to do. We have all played basketball at one time. These dudes do it far better than you can even imagine. And they're so great that they make it look easy. They make it look like it should be a walk in the park to get 30 and 23. Yo, that was one of the greatest playoff games we are ever going to see. And people just, he was great, man. That was AD. He should have been doing that all the time. Do you realize if he averaged 30 and 23, he would be the greatest basketball player you have ever seen? But that still wouldn't be enough because some of you guys would find a way to make Michael Jordan better. You really would. I mean, because this is what you do. It was phenomenal. And the Warriors have no answer. They literally have no answer for AD because Kevon Looney is too slow to guard him on the perimeter. And the difference between AD and DeMontis, AD's going to take that 15-footer. So when he's going to take that 15-footer and hit that 15-footer, guess what Kevon Looney has to do? Step up. And when he steps up, guess what AD does? Go by him because he is too slow, right? So they have no answer. And AD on defense, I mean, the 4 blocks, he was manning that paint. And that's the thing that I think is being missed by a lot of people when they talk about the Warriors and Steph Curry, because everybody just thinks about these threes, right? Oh, he's shooting all these threes and they shoot all these threes. But dog, when you're a jump shooting team, the regression to the mean is going to happen. Now, they might have nights where they go, hell, last night was a night they went off. They had 3 dudes hit 6 3-pointers. That does not happen, right? And they still lost. Why did they lose? Because they couldn't get any twos. Anthony Davis and the Lakers D made it hard for them to get in the paint and get easier buckets. I used to argue with my son all the time when he would play basketball and settle for the 3 all day. And I'm like, dog, you are giving the defense a break by taking this. This is the hardest shot in basketball. Now, unless you are ultra proficient, shooting over 40% at this, and you're going to do it for the entirety of a game, then fine, stay out there and do that. But you've got to be able to get easy buckets. And the Warriors couldn't get easy buckets because AD and LeBron and Vanderbilt wouldn't allow it. Those dudes, Schroeder, they were up on them playing D, running through screens, getting over the top, not going under, understand that you have to stay attached to Steph Curry and Klay. And of course, they're going to get hot. They're great players. They're going to make shots. You're not going to stop them. Nobody is stopping Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. You just make it hard for them, and you limit the other things they get to do, which is go into the bucket, go into the paint, and get easy buckets. Steph tried to go in there, and he got his shit thrown out. AD threw stuff out a couple times. Thompson got thrown out a couple times. Kevon Looney got thrown out. Yo, the Lakers squad is so deep and very long and athletic. Man, I don't know if the Warriors have an answer for this. And what they can do, they did. They went to a zone. They went to a zone because the Lakers' three-point shooting wasn't falling. But what the Lakers did was, okay, well, the three-point isn't falling. We'll just go into the cup. We'll just get in the paint, right? We'll take those 15-foot jumpers by AD in the paint. We'll take that. LeBron will get into the paint. Everybody was getting into the paint. And Kevon Looney is a dope rebounder. He ain't so much of a shot blocker. And Draymond Green ain't big enough to guard AD. He's not a center. He's a power forward. So they were getting stuck a lot. And I'm not saying this series is over. I still think it's six games. But what are the Warriors going to do? Is Kevon Looney going to get faster? Is AD going to get smaller? Is Draymond Green going to get bigger? I don't see it happening. I just don't know how this is going to work. But there is one thing that I really took from this, and it was something that was really on me listening to people this morning, and some of my friends included, who are just haters, you know. And I don't know why people just don't embrace their inner hate sometimes, right? It's okay. Let me tell you, it's okay to admit that you're a hater of certain things. It doesn't make you a bad person. For instance, I hate Raiders. I hate the Las Vegas Raiders and their fans. I'm not a bad person because I don't like those people and I don't like that team. I hate them. I admit that and I'm fine with it. But some people just won't admit that they hate LeBron James. They'll talk all the trash and then you say you're a hater. Man, I'm just telling you the truth. Well, what is the truth, right? So I've heard people on TV, I heard people in text messages talk about LeBron last night. And like, man, LeBron ain't the best player no more. I mean, he was just standing around. Okay, he's not the best player anymore. He was standing on the side and gracefully allowing the teammates to make the game happen. Why is that a bad thing? Like, who finds a way to demean somebody for getting a win and playing their role in getting a win? I was saying this on social media and talking to some people about it, and I think that this is one of the things that makes LeBron James so the greatest basketball player in the world to me, on top of already just everything he's done, right? How many times do we see star players in any sport hang on longer than they should, and also while hanging on, try to act like they still are the player that used to be when they ain't that no more, right? I mean, we've seen that. We've seen that with the Lakers. Kobe Bryant played too long. He was not good anymore when he was done, right? By his 20th season, he was a shell of himself out there pump faking himself into the ground trying to get jumpers off. LeBron James is recognizing what he can do and what he can't do at his 20th year in the league. I was watching him against the Memphis Grizzlies. There was like a good 9-minute period in a fourth quarter where LeBron sat in the corner and just gave himself some rest so he could play defense while letting Reeves run the show, while letting the offense run through Davis, while letting D'Angelo Russell do his thing. And I think that's such an element of his greatness that is just being overlooked. That dude has been a star his entire basketball life. He's the chosen one. He's been the best player in the NBA. He's been the story of the NBA, along with some other dudes who come up and get some credits every now and then. But he has been the marquee of the NBA for probably a good 20 years. 20 years. And to watch that dude now, in his 20th year in the playoffs, gracefully allow Anthony Davis to be the dude. Gracefully allow Reeves to run the offense while LeBron stands in the corner and plays off of them.
to allow D'Angelo Russell to cook while LeBron chills in the corner and waits for a kickout if it's coming to him, and not be salty about it. Because what's the most important thing? Getting the dub. Not hearing Skip Bayless on TV, well, LeBron's got to close that out. They won the game, man. Or hearing these people on social media, like, we're just the spawn of negativity always. Oh, LeBron doesn't get it done anymore. Well, he's in year 20, dog. Like, what are you expecting? What do you expect? Do you expect this man to be taking over games like he's 23 again? That's not going to happen. He's trying to win championships because that's what they do in the NBA, is they're playing to win. So why are we behooving this man for playing winning basketball? It's just mind-blowing to me that people will make up these arguments and have these comments, and then when you call them out for being haters, they will fight you to the death about not being a hater. I just don't get it. But great series. I'm excited for it. I want to see more. Can't wait. Thursday is game 2 up in San Francisco. We'll see if the Lakers can steal 2 up there and then get back here and get it done. And, I mean, both of these teams are a little bit gassed, right? The Warriors are coming off of game 6 versus Sacramento. They had to play a day. They took a day off and then had to play game 1. The Lakers got the 3 days, but they still got old dudes, right? So this is going to be a fascinating series. I still got my Lakers in 6. The Suns. They're done. Yeah, the Suns are done. Yeah, that rhymed. I said this was going to happen. I called this before when they got Kevin Durant. When have we ever... And people, it's crazy that people were actually thinking that team was going to win a championship. This is the best team in the West now. When have we ever seen a team get put together, not even in the offseason? They did this in the middle of the season. Traded away depth and starters, brought in one dude and lost their bench, and we think that's going to win a championship? Why? Why would we ever think that? Why would you ever think that? Why would anybody ever think that? It just doesn't happen that way. Hell, it's hard for teams to happen in the offseason, put together a star-laden team and figure out how to go through the trenches with each other. You're going to do that in the middle of the season while losing half your team? Of course they're done. And right on schedule, in round 2, CP3's body just figured out, oh, we in the second round? Time to shut down. Damn, that rhymed too. I wasn't even trying. Suns is done. CP3 in round 2. That's what his body does. It just shuts down. And I feel sorry for dude, man, because he is one of the greatest point guards of all time, one of the greatest players of all time. But, It's just... And now he's out for games 3 and 4. Nuggets is going to run these dudes. And I got to come back and say, I was wrong about Jokic being a regular season all-star, right? Because in these playoffs, that dude has looked very dope. Very dope against some athletic dudes. I mean, although he did go up against Rudy Gobert, who's not that athletic, and Karl Anthony Towns, who wants no parts of a big man down low. But now he's going up against Ayton, who there were times last year in the playoffs, I've always thought that Ayton was the key to the Suns, because what can you do with an athletic 5 who can stretch the floor and anchor your defense? But that dude just looks uninterested. And sometimes he just doesn't look too bright. Like, I mean, I saw a turnover. I saw a pass he made. I mean, literally, a Nuggets player was standing right in front of him, and he basically gift-wrapped the ball to my man. I don't know if he's on the take or what, but that dude just don't look like. And I was listening to somebody, I think I was listening to Kendrick Perkins talk about it today, and somebody just questioning, like, man, maybe it just ain't in him. Maybe that fire, that dog ain't in him to be any better than what he is. And sometimes it happens, right? Everybody can't be LeBron. Everybody can't be Jordan. Everybody can't be Magic. Everybody can't be Kareem. Somebody got to be DeAndre Ayton, and that's who DeAndre Ayton is being. A tall, big dude who just is going to underwhelm for his career. Game is the game, and he got paid. Damn shame, but yo, it ain't my money. On the East, Celtics and the Sixers. Celtics be ashamed of themselves. Losing that game. Losing that first game without Joel Embiid. No way, no how that should have happened. But This is what happens when you got a rookie head coach who they jumped the gun and gave that dude an extension to be the coach without ever showing he could do anything in the playoffs. He led a team in the regular season. What? Like, let's see him go through the playoffs and make something real happen. And that dude made no adjustments, made no, defensive changes to get James Harden to stop scoring all the damn time. Like, this game, that was there for the Celtics on their home floor. They wasted Tatum had like 30, 35, 36 points. Brown had, Brown didn't have the greatest game. LaMonica, which I've told you about. But you can't be wasting those good games on your home floor. And now that they're the number two seed and the number one seed has been eliminated, the Celtics have home court advantage throughout. You've got to take advantage of this and win these games, especially when the MVP is not playing. So we've got a dope series over there. The Knicks in Miami, Jimmy Butler set out game two, and the Knicks barely won that game. They had to scrape and claw to get that. So we're going 1-1 back to Miami. We've just got great playoff matchups, and the NBA is, man, for anybody that wants to talk about the 90s or the 80s was better or the 2000s, just slap them. This is the best basketball, the most competition we've seen in a long time. It's open. Everybody's damn near got a shot, except for the Suns. It's a wrap. We'll be back after the break. So the NFL draft has come and gone, and the black quarterback revolution has begun, baby. Oh, man. Y'all know I was so happy about this, right? And we talked about it last week and why I was so happy about it, and it all came to fruition. Number one was Bryce Young, who I said all along was, I've never seen a college quarterback like this dude. He's small, but I've never seen anybody have that kind of patience and command and just not ever look pressed, right? Like, I have not seen that. And so that's why I thought he has to be the number one overall pick, right? You've got to take this dude. There was two things for me. It was either Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson. Right, you either take Bryce Young because you've never seen this type of dude, and yeah, the knocks on him is he's small, but you've never seen a dude play the game like this guy has in college. You've got to see if it's going to work in the NFL. You can't have the number one pick and just be like, no, I'm going to take the safe thing. No, when you got the number one overall pick, ain't no safe, man. You got to be shooting for the moon, and you shoot for the moon by taking a dude who has the skill set and just the rare poise that Bryce Young has. Or you take the overall amazing athlete that is Anthony Richardson and make him a project and figure out if this can get done, right? Because you've already seen it happen with Josh Allen, Cam Newton, Jalen Hurts. We've just seen it. So you've got to shoot for the moon. CJ Stroud is a nice quarterback, but that's a safe deal, right? You know where he's going to be. He's not no runner. He's not going to help your run game. He's not going to do anything extraordinary. He's going to be solid, and that's cool. But when you're at the top of the draft, man, you got to be shooting for the moon, especially now with the way that these salaries are. These first-round picks aren't getting the life-altering money that they used to get when Jamarcus Russell and Sam, I forget his name, the dude from Oklahoma who has so many damn contracts. He was getting that huge contract, right? They're not getting that type of money anymore. So now you can take chances, because if the dude doesn't work out in 1 or 2 years, just draft another one. Hell, you saw the Arizona Cardinals do that. They got Josh Rosen in the first round 1 year at number 10. Dude ended up being trash. The next year, they drafted Kyler Murray, number one overall. It's just the money isn't the same, right? Now your quarterback room isn't taking up all your money because you got these dudes on such smaller deals. But Bryce Young went number one overall to the Carolina Panthers. Number two was CJ Stroud to the Texans. And thank God, we talked about it real quick on last week's show. There was all this rumor and stuff floating around about Will Levis. And the Texans proved that they just aren't dumb, right? The same thing that happened with Mac Jones a few years ago when the 49ers were traded up to number three. And people were saying that the Niners were trading up to get Mac Jones. And I was literally saying, if the 49ers traded up the world to go get Mac Jones, a.k.a. Jimmy Garoppolo 2.0, I am turning in my fan card. I will never watch that team again, because how could they be so dumb? We've already got that guy. Why would we trade up to get a dude, a statue? In today's NFL, why would you trade up and get a statue? And the Texans weren't dumb about it, right? They're like, no, we're going to take the dude who we've seen the tape. He balled out. Because for some reason, when it came to Will Levis, nobody wanted to watch the tape. It was just, no, he had bad tape because it was a bad year. He was injured. His teammates weren't great. Yo, he's not going to have great teammates in the NFL. If he went to the Texans, they don't have a good roster. He's not going to have good teammates. So why is he going to elevate these guys if he couldn't elevate those dudes in college where they're not playing against? People like to think that the SEC, it's all murderer's row. No, it's Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, and everybody else. Them dudes is playing Mississippi State. They playing Ole Miss. You know what I'm saying? They're playing South Carolina. They're playing Auburn. They get to play some whack teams. It's not like they're playing the murderer's row every year. And they're not always playing the murderer's row because they don't play Alabama every year. Right? So it's just one of the craziest things to help Florida. Right? I mean, come on, man. That dude couldn't beat the whack teams in the SEC. No, man. I'm buying it. I saw the tape. And the tape said he was just all right. And then the Colts took Anthony Richardson, which was unexpected because, you know what I'm saying, if y'all know anything about Indiana and Indianapolis, I mean, there was a movie called Hoosiers that came out of there, right? It was about a team of slow white dudes who beat these super athletic black dudes, and that has been a mantra for the Midwest and for eternity. So I was surprised that Indianapolis stepped outside their box. And their box lately has been go get the old white dude and see if he can still play. I mean, Matt Ryan, who's Carson Wentz, who's Phillip Rivers. They tried everything, man, and it just didn't work out after Andrew Luck bounced. Anthony Richardson, to me, is going to be, I mean, he's going to be dope, man. I mean, Shane Eichen is there to coach him up. He did the same thing with Jalen Hurts. I think you're going to, and this is what I've been talking about forever. It's not to say that there's not going to be any white quarterbacks ever again. You're just going to have to be athletic. You're going to have to be Josh Allen. And if you're not Josh Allen, you're going to have to be Burrow, right? Burrow's athletic. The dude was Mr. Basketball in Ohio. I mean, it's not like you watch him and he stays in the pocket, but he moves around and that dude's athletic. You're going to have to be at least have some athleticism like a Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and not just be athletic, but you have to be athletic and then be able to sling that rock too. Because if you're not super fast, then you better be precise with that ball. And that's what Joe Burrow is. That's why Tom Brady was able to last so long as one of the dinosaurs, because that dude still had laser precision and he thought quicker than everybody else, right? That was his superpower. He wasn't fast. He had the biggest arm, but that dude was really quick at processing. If you can't do that anymore, you cannot be no damn statue in this league because the defenses are just too fast. They're just too fast. And teams have finally come around to understanding, it would be really cool for the dude who touches the ball all the time to not only be able to throw, but wouldn't it be great if he helped out in our run game too? I mean, wouldn't that just make everybody's life easier, a la Lamar Jackson? Anthony Richardson, and people are saying, okay, he might not, you know, he's going to have to wait a year. No, throw him in there. Throw him in there now. He's not going to take all the sacks that you would get from a David Carr. Remember when the Texans drafted David Carr and they threw him out there and that dude got like sacked 100 times and it ruined him because then he was just gun shy and worried about the rush all the time and worried about getting hit. Guess what Anthony Richardson is going to do when the rush comes to him if he's not ready to throw the ball the way that we want the quarterback to do it? He's going to run and take off. Did you watch Justin Fields play? That is the difference. That's what happens when you have a quarterback that has such a high ceiling. You don't have to worry about them being the passer that you want them to, you hope they become. As long as they can run, it's going to help everything else out. It's going to give the receivers one-on-one when you got a quarterback who has to be accounted for in the run game. It's going to make the runners more explosive because people are worried about the quarterback keeping the ball. it's going to change everything, and that's where the game is going, and that's where that position is headed. Hell, we just had three black quarterbacks taken in the first round this year. Hell, the first four picks were three black quarterbacks. And the dude who slid, and I was watching that, and people were feeling bad for Will Levis, and I felt bad because it's not his fault, right? I mean, that dude just was going off the information that people were giving him. Oh, he'll be a first-round pick, because they only invite you there if they think you're going to be a first-round pick. And they only invited him there because they thought he was going to be a first-round pick because people are listening to these mock drafts and these media people say that this and that. But the real football players are like, he's the fourth best quarterback, maybe even fifth in this draft. The only reason he was the fourth best quarterback is because Hendon Hooker busted his knee up earlier. Hendon Hooker would have been the fourth quarterback taken. I'm not too comfortable even saying that, right? Because I thought for sure somebody was going to talk themselves into getting Will Levis in the first round. And this is how you know that NFL teams knew that Will Levis was not that dude. NFL contracts, if you get drafted in the first round, you get a four-year contract. But in addition to that four-year contract, the team gets a fifth-year option on you. That is probably the most valuable thing that anybody could have as an owner when you take somebody in the first round. So if you think a guy is good and you want to have them for at least 5 years, you are taking that dude in the first round. They would not let you get to the second round because in the second round, you don't get that fifth year option. You see, Jalen Hurts just signed a new deal because there was no fifth year option for him. They had to give him his money, right? They could have played this thing out another year or two and got him to the fifth year and then figured it out. But no. Now, let's pay him. Will Levis, the league told you what they thought. They didn't even want to pick up the fifth year on this dude. We'll see what happens, right? We'll get him for 4 years. He ended up going to the Titans. We'll see if he can come here and do something. If he can't in 4 years, he'll be gone. He'll be a backup for us or whatever, right? But if they thought he was good, somebody would have came up to number 32 to get that dude so they could have got a fifth year out of him. The league told you what they thought of Will Levis. I told you what I thought of Will Levis because I watched him. But Mel Kiper Jr., he was getting it on the telly. People were going at him. Mel, your guy's slipping. Mel, what's going on with him? Because Mel, and I just don't know if there's some hype machine or, you know, the publicists get involved. They want to pay people to talk their clients up, which is a thing people do because perception becomes reality. But Mel tried his damnedest to get this dude drafted in the top 10 and the first round. And the league said, nah, we seen the dude's movies. He ain't good. He's stiff. I mean, I heard that his interviews were terrible and the dude was kind of unsure of himself and kind of like, what I would dare to say, what it sounded like people were saying to me, what I was hearing was that he was fake. And all that screams of is Zach Wilson. I saw Zach Wilson last year in the TV interviews and talking to people. And he just seemed like, and now I want to say fake because these are young dudes, just seemed like a dude who's trying to impress everybody. And that don't work, man, in NFL locker rooms. That don't work in high school locker rooms. That don't work in college locker rooms. If you the quarterback, you just got to be that dude, man. And people can smell it. They know it. And if you ain't that dude, they going to run you. They going to test you, man. And as soon as you flounder, you up out of there. Zach Wilson will never, I don't care. Aaron Rodgers comes in there and does whatever. Zach Wilson will never be the starting quarterback for New York Jets. Ain't happening. Those dudes have already seen him. They already have figured him out. They've already played that dude. Guarantee somebody is checking him in that locker room. Somebody's punking him walking around. Like, that dude is done. He's not going to be the starter for the Jets. Mark my words right now. But I felt bad for Will Levis, but I felt good for the NFL that people are actually starting to just be honest about what the hell's going on. Stop wishcasting these dudes up when the talent ain't there. It just wasn't there for him. He went in the second round. Cool. He didn't have to go in the first round. Went in the second round. Whatever. That's where his talent put him where he was supposed to be drafted. That's it. And Black Quarterback Revolution. Next year, the number one overall pick, depending on if somebody needs a quarterback or somebody's probably going to trade that pick, is going to be Caleb Williams from USC. Right? The train is coming, man. Get on. And one thing I want to touch on before we get out of here. Deion Sanders was in the news this past weekend talking about how it was a shame that the NFL didn't draft. Only one HBCU player got drafted. I forget who the dude was. And why is it a shame? You know, if we just watched a white quarterback who everybody was trying to get drafted in the first round, not get drafted in the first round. I think that speaks to talent being evaluated truthfully now, right? And if these dudes could ball, if these HBCU dudes could ball for real, the NFL would go get them. They would go get them. Now, I'm not trying to give the NFL all the credit in the world because NFL ain't the most, you know, we try to think it's a meritocracy, but Colin Kaepernick still ain't been in the league in since forever. And we know it's not about him not being able to play. It was about other things, right? But when it comes to the draft, when they can get dudes on the cheap to play, to come there for no money, if the HBCU had players that could really ball, they would have got drafted. One of them did. And yo, move on. It might not be for these dudes to get drafted. And Bomani Jones was talking about this in his podcast. Yo, just because they didn't get drafted don't mean the story's over. There's a bunch of undrafted free agents that get picked up and make their way through the team. That's just the game for them. Go there, be an undrafted free agent, and then make your name. Make some shine. Show them that you should have been drafted, right? That's it. But yo, thank you for listening. I'm Reggie Watkins. You've been listening to I'm Probably Right. Rate us, review us, subscribe, comment. Please don't be hating. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. Believe.com is where you find us. BLEAV.com and Apple iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play, all that good stuff. Find us. My man Kevin Cleveland, thank you so much for producing, engineering. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.